As we remember the resurrection of our blessed Lord Jesus, please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his word, his disciples' word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I think we all have places. Oh, have places where we love to go, and there are places where we naturally don't want to go, rather not go. And this morning we are invited by our text, in which we hear the words of the angels and the words ultimately of the Lord who send these angels to come and see a place where you and I rather naturally don't want to go. It is the grave. The grave, beloved, reminds us of the fact that we live in this sin-cursed world. The grave reminds us of our by nature broken relationship with God and love affair with sin. The grave is that place that reminds us of one thing that is sure about all of us. We will have to die. Unless the Lord Jesus returns before we have died, whether we are young or old or rich or poor, important or despised, we must die all and be brought to the grave. And the only thing that matters then is that relationship that needs to be restored with God through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the resurrection. The grave, beloved, reminds us of the fact that you and I are mortal beings, frail. The grave, don't we connect it often as well with, in our minds, with sadness and weeping and grief? But this morning, we receive an invitation to come and see the grave of the one who changes the way we look at the grave. This morning, as we remember the glories of Easter, of Resurrection Sunday, we are invited to come and see the place where Jesus laid, to come and see how he gloriously transforms death and dying and the grave and our relationship with sin and our hope for the future. This morning, then, we receive an invitation of the angels to the place where of Christ's grave, to come and see, and to ponder and to believe and to rejoice. And may it be so, those who are still sad in their hearts, that they would be able to dry their tears when they look how Christ transforms the grave into a glorious place for all those who believe and trust in Him. So this morning our text is Matthew 28, verse 6, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." And our theme is simply this: come see the place. This was the invitation that was given to the women on resurrection morning as they shyly came closer to the grave with all those burdens in their hearts. And now this is a remarkable invitation, children, don't you think? Come to a graveyard and have a good look. Let's in our mind come closer with these women, and let's ponder together what there is to see at Jesus' grave. Let's start at the beginning. The women would not have wanted to be there, would not have been there, if there was not something that really shocked and rocked their world as nothing else. What was it? We have seen it on Good Friday. Jesus hung on the cross and He breathed His last. Their precious Jesus. And they thought in their minds, this is the end of Jesus. His ministry has come to a dead end. Their hopes were dashed. They had buried their future. This is then, first of all, a place of burial. We are invited to come to a place and see what happened there that Good Friday. After He breathed His last, this was first of all a place of burial when the Savior was buried. Who were there at that moment? It was Joseph of Arimathea, and it was Nicodemus and some handful of women. As they had followed Him to the cross, as they had looked and pondered what happened there, as they watched Him die. And that night, Joseph of Arimathea, a secret disciple of Jesus Christ, he knocks on the door of Pilate's palace. Joseph was a rich man, a leader, an honored man of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. He knocks to fulfill what Isaiah wrote years earlier. He will be with the rich in his death. And this man then comes to Pilate. And Pilate is surprised that Jesus already died, and asks for the body. The permission has been given. And so Joseph bought some costly fine linen, and together with Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Nicodemus, the other member of the Sanhedrin, the one who came by night, Jesus' night disciple, comes now out of hiding. And together they bury Jesus. And Nicodemus brought a lot of myrrh and aloe, 100 pounds of weight. And that's how he showed his love. That's how they show their love and devotion to Jesus. That's how they cared for their body of their beloved Savior. Mark 16 tells us the parallel to our text. It says, "Behold," there's something to see here. There's something glorious to see here. Pay attention. The place where they, this group of people, laid Him. In our minds, we see these men and risking their reputation, gently taking the Lord Jesus, their precious Savior, from the cross with sad hearts. And there they go and bring Him to the grave, and there they lay Him. A rock-hewn grave, a new grave, Joseph's grave, he paid for it. And there they roll then in the evening that stone before the grave as the women watch what is happening and as the disciples hurry home after that. Come, see the place where they buried Jesus with love, with devotion, to fulfill the scriptures. A huge stone rolls in front of all their hopes, and their hearts are heavy and full of fear. Is there someone here this morning like that? Come see the place. But this stone, beloved, look at that stone for a moment. This is to show that Jesus really died. He really died. He had to die. He had to be buried. So that saved sinners, or sinners who come and put their trust by the power of the Holy Spirit in Him, that those sinners can be buried with hope, with glorious hope, with resurrection hope. So that unknown to these disciples who had heavy hearts, unknown to them, Jesus would be laid in the grave so that He could sanctify, to make it a holy place for His people and all those who trust in Him. So that the grave is only a passageway, a temporary place of rest for Him and for every believer. And that brings us to our second thing here. Come and see this place where the Lord lay. It is a place, beloved, of rest. Rest. A place where they laid the body of the Savior to rest, while His soul was back in glory, because He said, remember at the cross to that criminal, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's where He was. His soul in paradise. His body in the grave. A place of rest for the Lord of the Sabbath. For the Lord of the Sabbath. He gave over His body into death, and now there remains a rest for the people of God. A Sabbath for the people of God. No more works that earn our salvation, because His work is done. A Sabbath rest. We still just children how these women hurried home. Why did they hurry home? Do you remember? Well, it was the day of the Sabbath. Matthew 28 verse 1 tells us. It was during the Sabbath that Jesus laid His body to rest in the grave. And they had to rest, and therefore they hurried, and Jesus rested in the grave on the Sabbath. But there were some people, children, remember, who couldn't rest. They couldn't rest. What was the problem? We see them hurry to Pilate's palace, breaking the Sabbath even, and knocking on the door again. And something worried them. Something that Jesus said worried them. They couldn't rest because they were afraid that Jesus' words spoken would come to fruition. That His words would come true. He told them that He should rise. The disciples had long forgotten, but they hadn't. And so we hear another knock on Pilate's door to make sure that the tomb is going to be sealed and watchmen are going to be placed and posted. What a contrast. What a contrast. The grave, quiet. Rest, Lord of the Sabbath. He of whom they prophesied, Psalm 16, His body will see no corruption. All at rest in that grave. He it is that has the keys of hell and of death. His body lies here in the grave, and he takes his rest. And as his body lay in the grave, what do we see? His enemies are trying, are worried, are hurried, in a state of panic, trying to prevent him from coming out. Beloved, there's a lesson here. So it is still for all those who are against Christ this morning. Panic, hurry, worry. Not really resting in him. Loving death. Oh, come this morning, find rest at the grave of Jesus Christ. Rest with the one who said, are you burdened? Are you heavy laden? Are you grieving? Sin is such a burden, is it not? Come to the Savior who, when he was alive, said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. But that is not only rest for your soul, which is a glorious blessing, but here at the grave we learn another lesson. If you then die trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the grave will be a place for you where you can rest forever too. An eternal Sabbath will start. And unlike his body, your body will see corruption, but your soul will be at rest. Because you have found rest by the Savior who said, come unto me, come unto me. I will give you rest. And so your soul will be at rest forever in his glorious presence. So, beloved, this place is a place of burial. It's a place of rest. But thirdly, it is also a place of resurrection. Come see the place where the Lord lay, past tense. It's a burial place, yes, a place of rest and resurrection, but this is past tense. He laid there, not anymore. We can imagine those anxious women were going to the grave, and they had watched how Jesus was laid in the grave, and they had not been able to give their tokens of love because they had hurried home. They wanted to bring spices and balm and to maybe even embalm the body of their beloved Jesus again. And as they are hurrying there this morning, this early morning of Resurrection Sunday, their minds are filled with one question. What is the question? Mark tells us, who shall take away that stone from the door of the sepulchre? That question blocks all the light out of their lives. No light. Maybe there's someone here this morning who says, I've got questions that block everything. The light and the joy is not in my life because I have questions. I can't see the Savior. He is not alive to my soul. They had seen the stone. It's too big, too heavy to roll away. Maybe they would love to try. Not able. But beloved, this is no match for the Lord of glory, this big stone in your life, my life, that can lay upon our hearts. It's no match. This big stone was no match for the Lord of glory who would come to the grave this morning. And those glorious angels. Undoubtedly, grief had laid a heavy stone upon their heart. But who is able to take that away? He's able to do it. The Lord of glory. The Lord of resurrection. Is there something that weighs you down? He's able to roll it away. Listen to the invitation of our text again. Come see the place where he lay. This place, this morning, we visit in our minds, and there is this profound stillness and this rest around the grave. Maybe we only hear the footsteps of those men who are watching the grave. Quiet night. No disturbances. The seal is still there, unbroken. But then, suddenly, the earth begins to tremble again, and superhuman forms, bright as lightning, white and glorious, come from heaven. Angels are coming to visit this place. This place, and effortlessly the heavenly messengers take that stone and remove the stone from the tomb, and the seals burst, and the stone gives way, and there in that grave, the Lord Jesus Christ, his body sits up, comes to life, and then he comes out of the grave, steps forward, unseen by those watchmen who are blinded by the glory. Here is he, the one who has the keys of death and hell, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. Here is he who, of whom Revelations 1 verse 18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. He comes forth out of their grave. Here he is, who like Samson takes, as it were, the gates of death and the gates of hell on his shoulders, and cannot be held in the grave, cannot be held captive. The guards shake and tremble, and for fear become as dead men. They see glory, but they can discern. And that is still the problem with unbelievers among us. They see glory, but they can discern. The angels roll away the stone and take place upon that stone, sit upon it, celebrating this glorious victory over death. The guards hurry back to the city. They hasten themselves back, and they tell their story. They are bribed into alive. And then this is also the moment when what we heard last Friday, that these saints come out of their graves with him, and they appear in the city. Their graves were opened, and now here, when Christ, they were open, the graves were opened when he breathed his last, and now they come into the city. Oh, beloved, do you see it? Christ conquers death and hell. What a glorious miracle. What glorious power Jesus has. Here he is, about whom Job rejoiced. Remember, in all his misery, Job sat down and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. Here he stands upon the earth, alive forevermore, in his glorious resurrection body that will never ever die, immortal Jesus. What a glorious victory. No, the women didn't see this happening, because listen to our text, come and see the place where he lay. He's not there anymore. That's what the angels say as well to them. Fear you not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. He's gone already. They only saw the grave. They saw the angels, and that it was empty. Are you seeking Jesus this morning? Are you seeking him? Do you want to see him? Do you want to feel him, touch him if you could? He's not at the grave. He's not here. He's risen. He's the risen Savior with a risen body. And we know he's now in heaven. But he comes with his presence to touch our hearts gloriously. Come see the place where the Lord lay. What did they see? Children, do you remember John and Peter? They stooped down in the grave. What did they see when they came to this place? That's what the women must have seen too. They saw linen clothes lying there in a napkin that was about his head, wrapped together in a place by itself. That's what these women are invited to see. The grave is empty and the grave clothes are still left behind. He is not here. He is risen. Look at those grave clothes neatly behind, a reminder. Spurgeon said, they are pledges. They remind us of our fellowship with him in his death. He shares with us the experience of death. He knows what death is. They are reminders, Spurgeon said, that as he cast aside the garments of death, all those who believe one day will cast aside those garments too. What a sign of glorious victory. This morning we are invited to come and see the place of victory. A place of victory. A place of resurrection power. Let's first sing about that as we consider that after we sing. Psalter 58. A place of burial, a place of rest, a place of resurrection, and fourthly, a place of victory. We are, beloved, invited to come and see this place of victory this morning. Listen to the text. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. The Lord. He is that conquering Lord. And what a victory he won. Pilate's seal couldn't hold him. That heavy stone couldn't hinder him. Couldn't hold the Prince of Life in the ugly grip of death. Satan and his demons, they had to go and flee. For the one who has the key of death and of hell. Oh, beloved, this is the glorious day of victory of the Church of Jesus Christ. What a glorious day it is. And we, with these women, are invited to come and see it for ourselves. It is the Lord, the Kurios, the one who, in the rest of this chapter, is the one who is given all authority in heaven and earth. That one. And this morning, he gloriously triumphed over death, sin, and hell. And he comes and marches forth from the tomb. It is the Lord, that is, he who is both God and man, who became incarnate to overcome sin, death, and hell for sinners like you and me. Have you come to trust him? Do you rest in him? Come, see him for a moment. Look at him, at this place. His glory shines. The earth trembles. The gates of death give way. The gates of hell give way. Satan's head forever crushed. Sin and death defeated. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. Don't you see Jesus here standing as that glorious warrior who fights battles that you and I can never fight for ourselves? His feet is standing on the old dragon, Satan. On the cross, Christ atoned for sin. His blood cleanses us from all sin. At the grave, he crushed the head of sin, death, and hell. Forever. You see him come from the grave. Hear his victory shout, as it were. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? And believer, will you not cry? I know the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What hope we have, what promise. come and see the place where the Lord lay. Where he stands victorious over that triple-headed enemy that we battle. Sin, death, and hell. And come and trust in him, and through trust in him you will receive the same power that he has. Here is that greater David who fights the battle and has slain Goliath. Here is the greater Samson, and he carries those doors that were supposed to hold him captive and shut up in Gaza. He takes them on his shoulders and he carries them away. What a glorious place. What a glorious place of victory. And a glorious place, fifthly, of promise. Listen to these angels. He is not here. He is risen as he said. The disciples and these women had been given promises by which to live. But they had completely forgotten about. Maybe there are some here. They said, I know about promises, but I have forgotten about them. Jesus had spoken to them. What did he say? Just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the earth, so in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days in the belly of the earth. And not so long ago, he said, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles, to mock and to scourge and to crucify. That's what they all had seen. But he said something more. And the third day he shall rise again. And so these women come with a heavy heart. Is there someone with a heavy heart because you have forgotten the promises? They could have known, they should have known. They could have heard from themselves or from the disciples the promises that he had given them, but it is in times of difficulty and confusion that we often forget these things, don't we? It's easy to forget those promises, to not live by those promises. Are we living, beloved, by the promises of God? What a lesson for us. And here we and they are reminded again to live by the promises, because the promises, beloved, are 100% trustworthy. And at the grave, the angels remind us and them to pay close attention to the promises. He's not here, as he said. Isn't that problem often that we forget about the promises, we look at our feelings, we look at our emotions, we focus on our trials, we focus on our circumstances. We focus on the wicked world right around us. And we are distracted. We are not living by faith, by feeling. But here the grave is a reminder for us that this is a place of promise, as he said. He keeps his promises. What are the promises that we are reminded of when we look at this grave for a moment of Jesus Christ? What does he remind us of? That we will have a new life. That when we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we die with him and we rise with him into a new life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Are we living by that? Are we embracing this? Has he given you the power of his resurrection? New creature. New creature. Old has passed away. Is left behind in his grave. You now have power to overcome sin if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Are we embracing those promises? Or are they slipping from our memories because difficult circumstances, and we look at here inside and we look outside and we don't look to the grave, we don't look to Jesus, we don't look what he has done. Distracted. This morning in the place of Jesus' grave, we receive again a promise. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. And an even more glorious promise. If you are in Christ by faith, then we one day, because Christ has obtained a better resurrection, and Christ is the one who said to grieving Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Come see the place. You will live forever. You will one day rise. We will live. We will live forever. He has those promises. And for all those who trust in him, there is power. There's a powerful resurrection for our souls. And there is a powerful resurrection for our bodies one day. We will not be forgotten in the grave. One day, if we trust in Jesus Christ, we will enter into that glorious new creation. That new day. A new day will dawn, and we will live forever in Jesus' glorious presence. Each believer will forever be in him, in his presence, in his glory. But oh, what a terrible, terrible prospect is there for those who don't trust in him, those who turn away from him. Each unbeliever will be forever. Beloved, tremble. Tremble. Be turned into hell. If you not turn to Jesus Christ this day, come to Jesus Christ who can give you eternal life, eternal rest, eternal comfort. Today, turn to him. We have promises. We can be greatly comforted. So we've seen burial, rest, resurrection, victory, and finally, and sixthly, promise. When the angels invite the women to come and see the grave, they are invited to a place of comfort. A place of comfort. Is there a sad soul still? Even after you've heard the gospel, even after you've heard the invitations, even if you have heard about the glory of Jesus Christ coming forth as that conqueror over death, sin, and hell, is there still someone perhaps who is fearful and sad among us, like these women, tossed and not comforted? Is there still perhaps someone who has a stone upon his heart? Heaviness is weighing you down, and it doesn't want to lift. Come see the place where the Lord lay. See what he does at this place for these women. Stoop down to the grave, into the grave. Look into the grave for a moment. It's empty. Jesus is victorious. He's not here. He is risen. And he is now, as we know, praying in heaven for his people and all those who through their testimony would believe in him. He's praying. And he is able to comfort by his Spirit your fearful and sad heart. And he's able to say to the fearful and to the sad, be strong. Listen, these angels, these messengers of heaven, look at them for a moment. Look at that one sitting right on the stone as a sign of victory. Come, sad soul, for a moment. That stone is rolled away. The grave is empty. Let it sink in this morning for a moment. And come, roll your burden upon the Lord. Cast your cares upon him, and you will find that he can care for you for time and eternity. Will you not listen to what the angels have to say this morning? Didn't you hear how they began their message? What did they say? Verse 5. Fear ye not. You see, the Lord knows your and my fears. The Lord knows your sadness. The Lord knows your burdens. The Lord knows what weighs you down. And he says this morning, because of the resurrection, fear ye not. And he says it with power. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And see what the Spirit is able to do in the life of these women, verse 8, and they departed quickly. The message, the promise, the victory, the words of the angels had lifted the heaviness of their heart, and may the Lord do the same for you. I pray this morning, if you're still sad, if you're still burdened, if you're still weighed down, and may you experience what we see in verse 8, and they departed from the sepulchre with fear, yes, fear, and great joy. But this was transformed fear. This was holy awe, holy reverence. They feared as they came and were sad as they came closer. But how did they leave? Their fears had changed into awe, amazement, and worship, and adoration. Oh yes, even joy for those who are sad in heart. Oh, that the work of God's Spirit would be among us this morning to put joy in your heart when you look at this glorious work of Jesus Christ this morning. That's what God still does and continues to do when you see something of the glory of Jesus Christ in his grave that is empty and the power he has to overcome what you can't overcome, and the promises he gives. Be comforted, rejoice, be in awe, worship him who conquered death, hell, and the grave. And forget a moment about your sorrow. Forget about your sorrow. Go and tell others that Christ is risen indeed, and that he has come to your soul to comfort you. A shout rings out, a joyful voice. Jerusalem, arise, rejoice. A glorious morning breaks the night. The Son of God is risen with might. No grave could conquer David's son. He conquered death and victory won. Rose from the grave in heavenly power. For he is God, our strength and tower. Now death no longer holds a sting. Christ fully paid for all our sin. Believers who his glory tell need never fear the grave or hell. Since Christ the Lord is risen with might, new life begins in glorious light. A life that triumphs over death. Eternal life with Christ, our head. Amen.